nice day trip. You can't give that little boyfriend the slip. I like it better if you don't blush too much. I like to listen and I like to look. But if you can't accommodate, I'm fine with a book. The days are short now, but comedy's long.
Come on here. white oak leaves are rustling round the courtyard. Tell the cook to leave the kitchen window down. Just don't lock it from inside, I might still need a place to hide. When I turn to face the horses and the hounds, sister says to come on back for Christmas. Mama's wondering why I never come around. Lord, I've been running for so long, I just can't find a way back home. So I'll turn to face the horses and the hounds. You might hear some gears a-grinding, before I can get this rig turned back around, and head back down the highway winding, back towards the horses and the hounds. Thought I'd found a love to last me, till she opted for that candy-coated clown. I didn't even make a show, I just walked on and let him go. Still I'm running from the horses and the hounds. You might hear some gears a-grinding, before I can get this rig turned back around, and head back down the highway winding, back towards the horses and the hounds. Straight towards the horses and the hounds. Trails and motel sign rides a warrior, with his horse run out and his lance pointed down. That's as far as he's gonna get, and he surely knows what's coming next. He's just waiting on the horses and the hounds. You might hear some gears a-grinding, get this rig turned back around, and head back down the highway winding, back towards the horses and the hounds. You might hear some gears a-grinding, before I can get this rig turned back around, and head back down the highway winding, towards the horses and the hounds. Straight towards the horses and the hounds. And I bet they hear it halfway back to town, when I turn to face the horses, the horses and the hounds.
Left us in the south, and we were fix the disappointment in your head. She's lying down there on the floor, not exactly what you waited for. Ooh, there once was a woman who took you by the hand and showed you you could be a man. But now there's nothing left to say, and I'd be so grateful if you'd just go away. Your high school ring, and I know you remember her last virgin spring, but it just ain't happening here anymore. Won't you save my life if you can? 'Cause there's just no peace with this lonely meal man. Won't you save my life if you can? 'Cause there's just no peace with this rolling mill man. Won't you save my life if you can? 'Cause there's just no peace with this rolling mill man. Won't you save my life if you can? 'Cause there's just no peace with this rolling mill man. Won't you save my life if you can?
Smack water Jack, he bought a shotgun, 'cause he was in the mood for a little confrontation. He didn't think about the noose, he just let it all hang loose. He couldn't take no more abuse, so shot down the congregation. You can't talk to a man with a shotgun in his hand. With a shotgun in his hand. Now Big Jim, the chief, stood for law and order. Called for the men to surround the border. And from his bulldog mouth, as the posse headed south, came "Why we got the right to clean up the streets for our wives and our daughters. You can't talk to a man when he don't wanna understand, and he don't wanna understand. The account of the capture wasn't in the paper, but you know they hung old Smack right then and there instead of later. And the people were quite pleased that the outlaw had been seized, and on the whole it was a very good year for the under.
You're listening to WMFO 91.5 Radio. And I'm your host, Mr. No Man. Mr. No Name. Because I'm not really supposed to be here right now. It's 3:20 and this is my scheduled program, so I'm not going to put my name out there so it can be traced back. Not that anybody's listening. Just kidding. I know there are thousands of listeners tuned in. You just listened to Buffy St. Marie. I don't know what songs there were. Now I have Billy Joel playing in the background because I don't like Billy Joel. All he deserves is background music. Halloween weekend. I'm in love with an uptown girl. It's just a terrible, it's a terrible song. I'm starting to hate it. This is a bad idea. Let's put on some Beethoven. And now Uptown Girl's gonna be stuck in my head. I don't know what I was thinking. Number 7 in major D, op 10, number 3. There. That's much better. It's been a long night. But it feels good to be talking to you all on the radio. I don't know what to say. I feel like I have things to say, but they're not really coming to mind right now. It's been a great rain today. Me and my friend Harry, we went out and ran in the rain. Played soccer on the pitch. He's English, and some of his English words rub off on me, but it was pure joy. Boyish. Running in the rain, not a care in the world. No shoes, no shirt. Shorts soaked. Rain pound. We were in the eye of the storm. The field was flooded. The track was flooded. We were just playing around in a big old turf puddle. Caring about nothing. One of the few times I felt free in a long time. To all those out there listening, I think I'm losing it a little bit. You know, when you ever just feel like not you, somewhere along the line, things got crossed and you're not who you ever thought you would be, or you don't even know who you are, your sense of self somewhere, maybe in one moment, maybe in a collection of moments, just got broken, and now you're starting to wake up a little bit and can see yourself, and you are aware that when you're around others that you never feel totally comfortable or honest or true to yourself. But is that a normal feeling? I don't know. I don't know what it means to be happy. What is happiness? When do you know that you're happy? How can you be happy? Is it the time? Is it the place? Is it you? Is it others? Is it nothing? Is what you feel inside real? Or am I going to wake up tomorrow and feel totally, totally normal? Like, I can never put it into words. Thank you. I'm a student here at Tufts University, and it's a Saturday night, and as college campuses do, there were parties going on, and I got back to my room after playing soccer with Harry in the rain, and I just felt totally like those chains that have been on me all the time. I've been taken off, and I put on the movie Rocky. Anybody who's listening, and do you like Rocky? Have you seen the movie? God, it's such a good movie. I think that it's almost a cliche at this point to like Rocky, you know? Like you were going to tell somebody, what's your favorite movie? Rocky. That there would be a judgment in that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just so self-conscious that I think everybody's going to judge me all the time. As if I have some self-importance that people are going to think about me like that. I don't know. I like Rocky. It's a great movie. It's a love story. It's a man versus himself. It's a man versus love, and a woman versus her abusive brother and coming out of her shell and being her own person again, you know? Forget Rocky. Adrian's story's incredible. I mean, her brother, I don't even remember his name. What's his name? I just watched the movie. I don't remember his name, but for all those who haven't seen the movie, it's about a local Philadelphia boxer, Rocky Balboa, who goes by the nickname the Italian Stallion, and he's been a fighter since he was 15 years old, and when the movie starts, it starts with him fighting in a club. I don't know the full history of boxing and what that means. I couldn't tell you specifically, but what the movie gives you is that it's not a great place to fight, right? The crowd is uncontrolled, and they're throwing things onto the ring while they're playing, like beer cans, and people are just booing and yelling. They're not really watching the fight. The fight's for entertainment, for, you know, drunk people. It's not really about the beauty of boxing. If there is beauty, I think there is beauty in boxing. It's not about the sport. And people who fight in those fights like Rocky are fighting, it's for terrible pay, and it's not good fights. Like, you don't want to be fighting those fights. It's for, like, kind of middling, bottom-tier boxers. And the movie starts where Rocky, he wins that match. And initially, he was kind of getting beat up on. But he goes back in his corner, and his coach says something to him, and he goes and he wails on the guy. I mean, he wails on him. He knocks him out, and boom, 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 down for the count. And in that moment, you see a glimmer of his potential, and you know, this guy's got something. He gets mad in a second, and he's pounding on this dude. Like, a flip switches, and something in him releases, and you know he's got it. He's got it. He can be a great boxer. And that scene ends, and it goes to the locker room, and it's the two guys that just fought each other. They gotta share the same room, which is so strange, because 10 minutes earlier, they were mortal enemies. They were fighting, basically, to the death, a mini death of a knockout, which is like your brain saying, okay, we need a rest for a second. You've had so much trauma that I need to recuperate. But then sitting in the room, I couldn't hear what was said, and I couldn't find the subtitles, but, you know, they're just chit-chatting after the match, and the guy comes in and says, "That you got 20 bucks for the losers, minus 5 bucks for the locker, minus $10 for man in the corner, 7% tax comes out to $5.40, you know, it's just nickel and dime, you're not really making any money. It's bad pay anyways, but then they nickel and dime you, and you end up with even less than the salary. And Rocky gets like 60 bucks out of it. And for the next couple scenes, you know, he's beat up, and he passes people in his neighborhood, and they're all like, Rock, how was the fight? How was the fight, Rock? And Rocky says, Oh, it was good. You should have seen me. I won. Should have seen me. You know, he says that line over and over. You know, you should have seen me. He responds to that whenever people ask him, like, how was the fight? He's rather boastful about this fight that isn't really a great fight, but he won, and maybe he's insecure. And then, you know, he's got this apartment, and it's not the coziest.
It's clear he doesn't, you know, he's not making any money.
He has a crappy apartment, and he's a chain smoker, drinks, not living an athlete's lifestyle. Am I going to go through the whole movie here? What am I doing? I'm not going to spoil it. I was talking about Halloween. So I watched the movie, and I took away that movie just despite. Just watch the movie. I'm not going to describe it line by line. Watch the movie. Watch Rocky. And if you have watched it, please call in and we can talk about it. Because I need a soundboard and somebody to talk to. I'm looking for the number. I should have that memorized. Yeah, I can't see it. Well, if you have a cell phone, like a smartphone, just Google, like, WMFO Tufts, and their website will come up, and then you click on it, and the first thing will be like, call in. So go to that, check it out, and call in if you're listening. 333, magic number. So I watched the movie, and there's this girl I like, and it's always the trouble. So I knew she was going to be at a particular function, and I knew I could get into said function because of I'm on the track team, and the social events at school are very you got to be a part of a group, and not for all of them, but at least the ones I'm exposed to, but maybe that's circular logic, because the ones I'm exposed to are the ones that we get into, and so that's the ones that we can get into because of the team. So maybe that my view of reality is just based on what I've experienced, and it could not be the story for everybody, but from my experience, it's much easier to get into parties if you're with some group like a sorority fraternity or a sports team, and I'm on the sports team, so my name's on a list. I didn't have to do anything. I just walk up to the door. Dude's like, what's your name? He has he literally has a list, and you can get in. So it's very exclusive, and I guess I felt a certain, you know, swagger from that, but like, what? Well, who are we? Who are we to be? It's not a real VIP party. I just happen to be on a D3 sports team, so I'm moderately athletic, therefore I get to go to this party. You know, it's just when you break it down into what it really is, it's really all nonsense. And why create all this division? But that's besides the point. So I went to the party to see her, but I don't know, she makes me really nervous. And man, I blew it. Fuck. And I didn't see her at first. I saw some of my track buddies. I was following them around, and I went downstairs, and it's like those sweaty basements where it's packed in a basement and a cement floor, and it's just body to body with sweaty dudes, no shirt, girls that you're going to walk into and like in an uncomfortable way. And I don't want to accidentally grind behind a girl, and then she turns around, I'm standing there, and I can't explain myself like, oh, I'm just passing through. Like, I look like a creep. So I just want to enter no situation where I can be potential. I don't know. It makes me nervous, all that close proximity. So I saw that, and I went back upstairs, and I was passing on the stairs like I saw her, but we were going different ways. I was going up the stairs, and there's a huge line to get up the stairs and down the stairs. So we stopped, and I was like, hey, what's up? Like, I think we both know that we like each other, but are too afraid to say it. Or maybe I just am. But then people were like, can you please keep on walking up the stairs? We're all waiting. So then I went up the stairs. She went up down the stairs.
Ranger station, ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi.
And that scared me.
Location.
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears.
I'm going to put B2 on. So then I go back up the stairs and I think, oh, well, I'll see her at some point. I don't want to go back down there. And, well, I'm going to see her and I'm going to, I just want to talk to her. I'm not into the whole dancing and grinding up. Maybe I'm a prude, but I don't know her like that. So I go back up and I'm wandering, seeing my friends, and then I get sucked up into some of my upperclassmen friends, like Ben's. I'm not going to say his name on the radio, but older kids on the track team who are going to a different function, and they invite me, and so I'm like, yeah, I'll go, because I have a terrible time saying no to people. And I, in the moment, of course I want to go, like I want to hang out with those guys outside of track practice and connect. And in some ways my philosophy is go with the flow, just go with the flow, feel the flow, you know, to oppose the flow of events. You know, to say, no, I'm not going to go for something that I don't know maybe will happen. Like staying for the sake of seeing that girl, and maybe I don't see her, and then I regret not spending that time with my friends. Like, I know it's a definite right now, yes, do you want to go? Yes, I want to go. Let's do it. Versus, no, I'm going to stay because I have some different idea of what I think might happen. And then maybe it doesn't happen and I'm disappointed. So I'll just make it impossible to happen. So it definitely doesn't happen, and don't even give it a chance. I'll go somewhere else. So we're going to the party, and there's three of my friends and a girl I've never met, and we're walking, and we get to the party, and the other girl immediately, when we get there, we're weaving through the crowd, and she grabs my hand, and then I think flirting, I never know, I never assume anything, I'm just there, and she's talking about nonsense. It was like, I didn't understand what she was saying. it was all a bit. Like, I would say something, and she would say, your mom's blank. I don't know what to do with that.
But, she was nice, and I was having fun, and she was having fun, so what does it even matter anyways? And I wasn't judging her or anything, I'm just saying that's what it was. And then she said, let's go back to your place. So I said, okay. Again, just kind of floating around. She was very much in control of the situation. All I was saying was, yes, yeah, sure. No, that sounds good. Yeah, sure. And she went to a different house, find her sweatshirt, and we're walking. Then she says, can I invite another guy to your suite? I was like, yeah, sure. I thought we were doing something else, but yeah, Carter can come. And then where me, her, and Carter are in my room, and we're talking, and it's clear that there's no reason for like this group of people to be all gathered here. You know, she texted him and was a total, like a kind of a space cadet. She didn't know what was happening. I don't know if she was on, if that's how she is, or if she was really drunk, or another substance, or, but she couldn't form any plans. And so now we're in the suite and we're having like a disjointed conversation because she's acting like not making coherent sense, and me and Carter are just on a different wavelength, you know? Not that anything's wrong with what she's doing, but we're just not in the same place. So it's hard to communicate, you know? And it was really an incredible situation. I hope she doesn't feel embarrassed.
She said she was going to feel embarrassed, but I really hope not, because I truly do not care, and I judge nobody for things like that. Like, I think you can walk away from that situation and tell your friends, oh, this girl is acting so weird, but what is weird? What is normal? Why? We're all human. We're all the same. That's going to be you at some time, doing something that you think is embarrassing. And I think that in that light, I would hope that's, if I was in her situation then, and the roles were reversed, that she wouldn't tell her friends about me in a bad light, or think of me in a bad light. Therefore, and there's no reason to. She didn't do any harm. She just behaved out of unusually. And I was having a great time. I really was. That's the bottom line, and that's all that really matters. I was having fun. And she was okay. Carter was fine. It wasn't like fun at anybody's expense. I was just enjoying being there, you know? That sort of stuff doesn't matter. But they eventually left. And she took my raincoat. And tried to get my number, but I didn't give it to her. I don't know why. And before I knew, or I maybe before I thought she was maybe interested in me, I was talking to Ben about my dilemma that I wanted to go with them, but there was a special someone, as Ben said, at the other party that we were leaving, and that's why I was deliberating. And she overheard that and asked some questions, and as she was leaving, she said, I hope blank texts you. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know. I hope she's okay. I'm sure she's fine. I just have a hard time believing. Why is this happening? Yeah, I just felt like she didn't really know who I was, so how can... I have a hard time believing somebody will like me. I don't know. And what that even means. And how far I can take that assumption, and like, how do I feel out... I don't know. If anybody's listening and can give a socially awkward teenager some advice, that'd be great. Well, I got to the back to the other party to look for the girl I like. The door guy wouldn't let me in, and I was about to leave, and then she came out of the back door and was like, oh my god, it's so good to see you. You know, where have you been? Come on, let's go inside. And the guy was like, no, dude, you can't come inside. Doors are closed. You can't come in. Like, don't do this to me. Come on. And it took a lot for me not to strangle him in that moment. God, it was right there, but I don't know what fate is, if there is fate, but I felt like things weren't working in my favor, maybe I'm not just putting in the effort, like, how much of it is in my control or out of my control, what happens? I think about that a lot. Like, is the outcome just the outcome that is natural and what, of course, happened? Or is it something that I could have done differently to control the situation and get what I would like? Maybe that sounds like opportunistic or controlling and selfish to just go and get what you want. But I don't really mean it like that. I just mean like in that situation, if I really pursued putting myself in a situation where I would talk to her, maybe things would have gone differently. Maybe it's a mindset of mine. Or maybe things just happen how they happen and there's no reason to regret how things went out and say, I should have done this, I should have done that. It just happened. It just happened. And maybe you don't have as much control over the infinite chaos that surrounds you than you think. Or maybe that's just a defeatist mindset and there's a lot that you can do. I don't know, but maybe it's in the middle. A great night. I did. You know, I did. That was a good night. Why make it to anything else but a good night in my mind? I wish that happened. I wish this happened. I wish that happened. I wish this, that could have gone that way or this way. No. No. No, 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 no. Now I'm here talking with all of you listeners, trying to get this mess of my mind straightened out. God, I'm just a ball of anxiety and self-consciousness, self-doubt, self-deprecation. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. My friend told me that he talked to the girl I like, and she said that I wasn't aggressive enough. What does that even mean? The night that we first kissed, which was last week, I saw her at a function. It was a small gathering at my friend's, like living space. It's 10 rooms and they have a kitchen and like a common area. So there was about 30 people in this common area and I was just talking to her the whole time and we had a great conversation. It really flowed and I wasn't enjoying her company and I hope she was enjoying mine, and I think she was, and things kind of floated around, and maybe I wasn't aggressive enough. I should have known that if I said something like, you want to go somewhere else, she said, well, I would have said, yeah, but I'm just so scared of rejection that I'm just not going to put myself out there or try to make anything happen. I'll just kind of float and, you know, we're planning on going to a different thing, and we got out of the suite for some reason, and we were outside, and my buddies who had gone to a different thing come back, and I was excited to see them, my closest friends. I was excited to hear, you know, how their night were going, and talking to them, and I remember there was just a moment where the group was fracturing. Everybody was going different places, and I didn't make an effort to make sure that I was going the same place as her. I kind of just floated with the crowd, and maybe she took that as, oh, he doesn't really like me that much, which would make sense. But I do. I really like her. I enjoy her company, and I think she's real pretty, and I would have liked to spend time with her. But I floated back up to the suite. I was going up the stairs, go back upstairs, and everybody was like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Everybody else knew, except for me. Like, people I didn't know that well were saying, Reed, what are you doing going back up to the suite? There's a girl out there that likes you, and you like her. Go back out there and talk to her, see what she's doing. And I was kind of mad when that happened. Like, leave me alone. Why are you telling me what to do? This is making me real uncomfortable. That something that I thought was should be private was my decisions. My choice of where to go was up to a group discussion, but they were right. And I went back and saw her, and then I never said, like, I never told her I thought she was cute first. She always had to say it to me, and I would say it back, and I would just say things, yeah, too, things that you make me nervous, too. And she does, and she told me, you make me nervous. And what? I don't view myself as a guy that can make a girl like that nervous. You know? I didn't really believe her. Or process that could be even true. I just thought it was something she was saying, but I don't know. I feel like I am expecting her to read my mind, which is not fair. I'm sad. Just a sad. And I don't know why. It's like I won't allow myself to be happy. What is there to worry about? I make it into these worries. It should just be all good. And it is. It is all good. Somewhere inside my head, it gets all turned into like, ah. I just want to understand myself. I just feel like I'm at the whims of a feeling that's inside me that I'm not in control of. And I act irrationally and think irrationally, maybe without realizing in the moment, but I don't know. I would like to know. And I would like to feel calm and content, comfortable, self-assured. I don't know what that takes.
Monkey do chaw like we snare me, yeah. We gonna quit no way. They gonna best monkey do chaw like we snare me, yeah. We gonna quit no way. They gonna best monkey do chaw like we snare me, yeah. We gonna quit no way. They gonna best monkey do chaw like we snare me, yeah. We gonna quit no way. They gonna best. Nebobo nation, neck wet skishing, 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 Nebobo nation, neck wet skishing. I got.